Hey, welcome back, everybody. We've been on a fall break here at the Grove with our kids being in school, or being out of school, rather. And we're back today, and we're back this week, and we're going to be in our group tonight and tomorrow morning. And we're going through a book called Soul Detox. And today, the toxic emotion that we're talking about is anger. The last couple of weeks, we were talking about envy and bitterness. And, you know, anger is a little bit different as far as a toxic emotion, because anger can actually be good sometimes. And most people don't look at anger as being good, but if it's channeled in the right way and towards the right things, even Jesus got angry. We know that it's an emotion that God has given, gave him and has given us as well. I want to read this quote to you. We're gonna put it on the screen from Mark Twain. It says this, it says, "Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything in which it is poured." And I love that, because what it does is it just reminds us that when you're angry, you're mostly hurting yourself. You'll eventually spew it out. And my buddy Kenny Luck, who's a men's, you know, guru ministry guy, he calls it the blast zone, you know, when you affect everybody around you because of your because of your anger. So my opening question that I'm gonna throw out to my men tonight and tomorrow is this. What are your pet peeves? You know, we all have things that bother us. How do you deal with your anger on a daily basis? Because if you have a pet peeve, or if you have multiple pet peeves, chances are you're going to get angry throughout the course of the day. There's so many little things that can get under our skin. And you know, someone cuts you off in traffic, or someone's rude to you, or speaks rudely to someone that's close to you, or whatever. There are multiple things that can get us angry throughout the day. And I want to just tell you just a quick little story. I called my niece the other day on her phone, her cell phone, to wish her happy birthday. She just turned 16 years old. And I got a voice message that said, this phone doesn't accept voicemail. So I thought, okay, I hung up. And then I went and texted her, and it went right through to her text. Well, turns out she had an old phone number and a new phone number. I texted her to her new phone number, which was great. Well, her old one went to an angry redneck man in Mississippi who called me the next day and said, "Who is this?" And I said, "Well, who's this?" You know, and he said, "Well, you're the one who called me, you blank, blank, blank," and just started cursing me. And I knew it was going to happen. I knew as soon as I started preparing a message on anger, something was going to happen that was going to make me mad. It's what always happens. Whatever I'm speaking on, something like that will come up during the week. So I said, "Look," I said, "I was calling my niece. This was her number." And he says, "Well, I don't know who your niece is, and you know, or why you think you can just," and he just went off on me. And I said, "Whatever." I clicked it off, hung up. All proud of myself that I diffused the situation without screaming back at him, without cursing back at him or anything. And I'm all proud of myself. Then a couple minutes later comes the text message from said redneck in Mississippi. And he starts cursing me again in my text message. "You didn't have to be a beep and hang up on me." And, you know, he said, "I get off work at 3:30 if you want to come and settle this man to man." Well, I think he thinks I'm in Mississippi because I have a Mississippi phone number. Anyway, the point of the story is, I deleted his contact. I didn't respond. I wanted to. I had 1,000 things I wanted to say back to the guy, but I didn't. And it just goes to show you how quickly people get angry. And we really do live in a world of angry people. When you are surrounded by a lot of Christian friends and stuff, sometimes you don't notice that. But it doesn't take much to get out into the world and realize how quickly people will lose it over the smallest things. But sometimes we get angry, it's over things that are justifiable. You know, we get angry over politics. You know, we get angry over the fact that there's children going to bed at night that are hungry, there's slave trade still going on with child trafficking and all that kind of stuff. There's school shootings, there's earthquakes, there's famines, there's hurricanes that have destroyed people's houses and stuff. And there are a lot of people in the world who will get angry about those things. And when they get angry about them, sometimes they do good things with that. They'll take that anger and they'll channel it, and they'll go help in these social justice type issues. I was just speaking to a couple of friends of mine about this. These are issues that bother me, but I wouldn't say that they anger me. They're not keeping me awake at night. That might make me look heartless or whatever, but you know, I care about it, but does it really affect me? You know, I think when something like this hits close to home, if my mother or sisters or somebody, you know, lost their house, you know, then I'd be probably pretty angry about it. But I think when you have Jesus in your life, and I think when you know that God is sitting on the throne, that everything is going to work out okay. It's not always easy, but at least it makes it easier. And you're not going to bed angry at night for the most part. So I made a quick list of things just so you know that I get angry about things too. And these are more in the pet peeve line. So the first thing I get my pet peeve is people who litter. I see litter around our campus a lot here. I get angry with people who are whiners and are negative all the time. I don't like necessarily being around people who don't listen when I'm talking or that will talk over me. And because I try not to do that to people. I get angry with bad customer service or slow customer service at a restaurant or at a store or whatever. I don't like being inconvenienced. Being inconvenienced angers me. And that's one of the things I was going to tell a quick story about. A friend of mine, he and his wife on Sunday mornings now take separate cars to church. He said it's been the best thing we've ever done for our marriage because his wife was always making him late and he wanted to be at church on time. So now he comes in his car, she comes 15 or 20 minutes later in her car, and it's all good. You know, they've lost that tension, you know, in the marriage. Okay, another thing that bothers me are people that break promises, and I've had that a lot throughout my life, you know, and that makes me angry. Bad drivers make me angry. And of course, I'm a great driver, so I'd never make anybody else angry at all when I'm on the road. Being 6'4" and riding in an airplane and having the guy in front of me jam his seat back into my knees and my shins make me angry, especially when it's like a 2-hour flight. You know, do they really have to recline? And you know, when you're talking about travel, there's all kinds of things that can make you angry. I don't want to get into all that. But another one, that this will be my last one, and I don't want to come across as an angry person, but people that don't supervise their children or don't discipline their children is a touch point for me for sure, because I've prided myself. I feel like I've done a pretty good job raising my kids and staying on top of things. But I think being up here in a church environment too, people will come and they just think they can just, it's a safe place. They can just turn their kids loose and just let them run wild. And that does happen quite a bit up here. But when the Bible talks about anger, 15 different times it has anger and fire in the same verses. And the reason is it's a volatile quality about anger. Okay, it can be volatile, and by volatile, I mean just it's fast moving. It can go either way. So when a fire rages out of control, it can destroy everything in its path. That's where anger can lead to. So sometimes fire can be a good thing. I've been watching this show on Netflix called Alone. These guys, if they don't have fire, they can't make it. If they don't have fire to cook with, if they don't have fire to keep themselves warm, if they don't have fire to filter their water and boil it and get the germs out, they're gonna get sick and they're gonna end up off the show. It's like an elimination type show. Last Man Standing gets $500,000. It's a really cool show if you haven't seen it. But the point is, you know, you have to have fire sometimes. It can be a great thing. There was a guy the other day who basically tapped out. He called in on the emergency thing because he lost his little fire starter. The tide came up and took it back out and it's gone. And he knew, I'm dead. I'm dead without the fire. So sometimes anger is good if it's channeled in the right direction. Like we said, sometimes it's bad and it's destructive. It can destroy everything in its path. So it can be one or the other. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, let me read this to you. It says, in your anger, do not let the sun go down on you while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Well, the word foothold in Greek can also mean give the devil an opportunity or a place to sit or a place to stand. So basically, when you get angry and you're going to bed angry, in other words, you're letting it sit without dealing with it, it can actually give Satan a place to just lodge and just stay, and just bad things are going to continue to happen from that. Okay, I want to take a look at Genesis 4, 6, and 7. I want you to consider what God said to Cain. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." In other words, he's saying, Cain, I can see that you're angry, but you're going to sin in this anger. Something bad's going to happen. I know, because I know what's going to happen. And sure enough, Cain kills his brother. I mean, he went straight to it. He went straight from being angry to one of the worst sins that you can commit. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explained this. Let me read for you Matthew 5, 21 through 22. It says, "If you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fires of hell." Okay, I want to just look at that just for a second, because when you are angry with someone, or when I'm angry with somebody, we often say things that we wish we had back. And raca basically means idiot. If you've called someone an idiot or a fool, says you're in danger of the fire of hell. My guess is that you have called somebody something much worse than an idiot or a fool in anger when you've been mad at someone. My biggest regrets in life when it comes to, when it comes to things that I've done, and, you know, I look back at mistakes I've made, it's almost always been when I was angry. It's been words that I said to people, to my wife, to my kids, to my parents, to my siblings, to opponents on the basketball court or football field, or, you know, I played a lot of tennis growing up. There was arguments over line calls and things like that, where you just lose it. You just snap. And then later that night, you're sitting at home, you're going, "Man, why did I do that? Why did I react so badly? Why did I yell at the referees? Why did I get that technical foul? Was it really worth it, you know, just because I was angry at the time?" Proverbs 14:17 says this, "A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated." So foolish things are going to happen when you have a quick temper. There's two types of anger, or two types of people that get angry. One is a spewer and one is a stewer. Okay, the spewer is somebody who has a quick fuse. They're getting angry and it's just, they're spewing immediately. Okay, a stewer is somebody who's going to sit on it for a while, slow cooker. Think tea kettle that's been on the stove for a while. Not the electric kind, but the kind that just takes a while. You know, and then all of a sudden it just starts steaming and making noise and everything. That's what the stewer is like. Either way is not good. You know, I can't even say that one is better than the other. But let's take a look at Proverbs 29:11. It says, "Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end." So a fool is going to give full vent to it. Is that good? Is that bad? I mean, we can't just sit with it. We have to deal with anger as it comes. Now, there are different people that will say, "Here's how I deal with anger. You know, I go to the gym and I hit the punching bag, or I go for a run, or I lift weights just to get, you know, get that anger out." And, you know, all that's good. But eventually, it's a decision you have to make. Am I going to let this get me angry or not? And I feel like the older that I get, the less angry or the less quick I am to get angry. And, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily true with age with everybody. I mean, you guys have all met the grumpy old man who's angry all the time. You know, maybe life didn't turn out like they wanted and they're just angry at everything. So I feel like God's been doing a work in me. I'm sure he's been doing a work in some of you that were slower to get angry. I want to read for you from James 1:19 through 20. Along these lines, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Okay, so be slow to speak, you know, slow to become angry. That's how God has been described all throughout the Bible. In fact, it says seven different books of the Bible mention the same character attribute of God, which is slow to anger and abounding in love. So I want to add to that. So let's just do this. Let's be quick to listen. Let's take some time before we start speaking, okay, if we are angry. And don't jump straight into being angry. You know, if we want to really become like God and we want to, you know, seek after His righteousness, we need to be slow to anger and abounding in love, just like it says in James chapter 1 here. So I want to finish with this. Reigning in your anger and changing your reputation as being an angry person is possible. Okay, you can change your reputation as being a hothead. And trust me, if you are a hothead, people have talked about you being a hothead. Okay, you're known as the guy with the anger issue. So if your anger is poisoning your life and it's poisoning the life of those people around you, ask God for patience to help you. You can't do it on your own. Now, it is a decision that you can make to not be angry, but it'll sure be a lot easier if God is helping you through that process as you're continuing to work on that. So He wants you to be more like Him. And if you're going to be like God, okay, and we are all seeking that, we have to be slow to anger and abounding in love. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.